after lunch. We don't have a time because we don't know how long it'll take everybody to eat. But you're all welcome to be there, and you're all welcome to think of something. We don't have a suggestion box. Just bring your suggestions, your ideas, your thoughts on the new year and what we might do and what we might need with you. And we can consider all the new business, and in addition to, we go through the finances and all the same rigmarole each time, and there are probably one or two appointments that we'll have to renew. If anyone else wants to consider wanting to be the secretary, let me know. Claire? We will have eggs for Easter, but we don't recognize the rest of those heathen occasions here. Anyway, Sister Teresa. We've been using them heavily. I have Evan to collect the mail. I give him the key. I think somebody found some tax mail in the parking lot. So it's okay. We got it. He got the junk mail inside. But as I mentioned earlier, we have eradicated the squirrels to our knowledge. We had a vent pipe that was open over here in the kitchen to the outside, and that was their little escalator in and out of the church. And as far as we know, we have got no traces of squirrels making messes on the pews. So your pew doesn't have any squirrel mess on it from at least the last 2 weeks. Before that, at this time, Sister Janie. No gifts. Just come and enjoy a meal and cake. Is there any additional contributions that we need to bring? Just an appetite and goodwill and no gifts. Just a small gift. No, okay. Okay. Just cash? Okay. He just needs us on the 12th. Just us. Okay. Yeah. So talk to Henry directly if you really want to know what he wants for his birthday. At least a hug and a warm cup of coffee. And we'll go from there. All right, we'd like to invite Mom up next. Come on up, please.
Good morning. I love saying that. Feels like a school teacher saying good morning to the class. I have a couple of things to clean up before I get started with the message this morning, which, in case you want to turn to, will be in 1 John, the first chapter. I want to thank the Lord. My sister Jan, my baby sister, is here with us this morning. And as many of you have seen, the last few times she's come, she's barely been able to walk down the aisle to be seated. And today she's just bebopping all over the place. And I'm so thankful that the Lord saw her through the surgery, and the recovery has been far greater than what they predicted it would even be for her. And I thank the Lord for that. It's a definite answer to prayer. I would also like to say that if you weren't here last week, you should make a point to go on to our website and listen to last week's message, because it had personal meaning for each of you. And I need to say, Janie, I apologize. I missed calling your name. It wasn't written, but you were definitely prayed for, because I also prayed for your husband, Bob, for his salvation and his healing during that time. And if you go and listen to it, you'll understand I called each and every person's name in prayer. And I just wanted to let you know that if you listen, you were skipped in the reading of it, but you were not skipped in the prayer time because I prayed for Bob as well. I also wanted to say that Happy New Year. On this past Thursday evening, I was listening to some music and praying in my room. And sometimes when I pray, I like to listen to what we call soaking music, just tones. It's not really, there's no words connected to it. It's just tones, and some people call it the song of heaven. Some people call it soaking music. And I like to listen to that when I'm praying by myself. It just kind of fills up the room. And but this last Thursday night, and that's what Don was playing last Sunday at the end of the service, in case you were wondering. But this last Thursday night, I was listening to actual music, which sometimes I do, but believe it or not a lot, because I don't like a lot of what's out there. It's either boring, all the same, or too old and I'm not interested, and the new stuff is eh. But this family, the Isaacs family, I'm sure all of you have heard of them, seen them. I think that their harmonies and the treatment of their musical arrangements is absolutely extraordinary. They are so, so talented. And this song came up that Don's gonna play for us. And I watched the video, it's short, it's only like 3.5 minutes. And I played it 7 times because it just gripped my heart that much. It really ministered to me. And I am almost sure that this song is in this songbook that we have here today. And I know that you'll know the song if you hear it, when you hear it. And I hope it blesses you. And I'm going to have him play it just before we get started with the message. And it's called, Does Jesus Care? You'll see while he's bringing this up that this was filmed on an Alaskan cruise.
When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
So if you've been asking the question, does my Savior care? He does. He cares. I won't keep you very long this morning. This is just a short message today. But I hope the point is driven home for you as it was as I studied it out this week. And I'm calling this living proof. And I'm going to be reading 1 John verses 1 through 10. It's kind of dark up here. I guess it's, oh. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, as we have, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not tell the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. It's clear in this passage that the writer had a very personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. But to be honest, I was a little unsure of just exactly who this John, this writer of this John, 1 John, this epistle, was. So I researched out who was this John. And in researching this, I found that most scholars agree that all three of the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, were written by the Apostle John from his hometown of Ephesus, which was a Greek city, which was located in today, modern-day southwest Turkey, but then was called Asia Minor. And he wrote the three epistles about 90 years after the death of Christ. Most writers also agree that this John, referred to as the Apostle John, was a fisherman by trade, and that he had many other recognizable nomenclatures. For instance, he was also called John the Beloved, the disciple that Jesus loved, the son of Zebedee, a son of thunder, which was a title that Jesus himself gave him, which many scholars believe because of John's fiery temper. The writer of 1/5 of the Bible, the Gospel of St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John epistles, and the Revelation. The John to whom Jesus gave the responsibility of his mother's care at the cross. The disciple who outran Peter to be the first inside the empty tomb after Jesus was resurrected. The writer of the letters to the seven churches of Asia, as Jesus instructed him to do. And finally, the disciple who was reclining on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper and said, "Lord, who will betray you?" That's quite a list of identities. But it's also agreed widely by scholars that this John was not John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin. So that was the confusion. I wasn't sure. Wait a minute, which John are we talking about here? And I wanted to find out. So this John that I'm speaking about this morning was clearly in Jesus' inner circle. He was one of his closest confidants, along with Peter and James. And these three were invited by Jesus himself to witness some of the most astounding miracles recorded in the Bible. One, John was present with Jesus when he raised Jairus' daughter in Mark 5:37. It says he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. And I can just imagine John chuckling to himself when he heard the scoffers laughing at Jesus for saying that the girl was only asleep. Can't you just hear him say, "You just wait and see"? Two, John was on the mountain of transfiguration with Jesus. In Matthew 17:1-8, says Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a high mountain, and right there in front of them he was transfigured. John saw his glory, where his face shone like the noonday sun, and his raiment glowed as bright as the sunlight. And he spoke with the long-departed prophets, Moses and Elijah. What a trip that must have been. He heard with his own ears the voice of God calling Jesus his beloved son. And finally, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray the night that he was betrayed. So if we just look at these examples, it's no wonder that this John, with such personal, intimate knowledge of who Jesus was, could write in verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon him, and with our hands we've handled him, the very word of life." And then dropping down to verses 3 and 4 again, "That which we have seen and heard, is what we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these are the things that we write to you, that your joy may be full. John knew that the people needed reassurance. This was the early church, folks. They didn't have a lot of history to go on. And John's saying, don't worry, I'm telling you what I saw, what I heard, and who I touched with my own hands to be the truth. It's real, that their joy may be full. And verse 5, then this is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is the light and there's no darkness in him. John goes on to admonish the church to walk in this light. Don't deceive yourselves about sin, but confess your sin to God, because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And finally, I'm going to jump back to verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness. And we show unto you that eternal life, was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. This John was so certain of who he knew, what he had seen, heard, touched, that he could, without any wavering whatsoever, instruct the church to cherish this truth, to be sinless, to clearly differentiate that there's a difference between the way the world lives and the way the Christian should live, and what those telltale signs would even be. And why did he give this message? Because of the eternal life that Jesus provided. And of course, we know we have this eternal life if we are born again into him. Chapter 2, verse 25 goes on to say that this is the promise that he's promised us, even this eternal life. And chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And chapter 4, verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I praise God for that firsthand declaration by John. I'm glad that he knew him personally, that he could attest of what he had seen, what he had heard, and what he touched himself to establish the first church. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for helping us to understand your word better today, and for helping us to see that because the writer of this passage had firsthand knowledge of you, that he could pass this confidently on with assurance to the early Christians and to us. And help us remain steadfast in our faith and grow in the further knowledge of God. Help us too, Lord, to cling by faith to your word. For you said to Jeremiah that you watch over your word to perform it. Help us know that you're so very real, just as John saw and heard and touched you. Build our faith today, Lord, having heard this word, that we may believe unto this eternal life. Nothing deterring, Lord, nothing lacking, because you've provided everything we need for this eternal life through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask all these things in that name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I told you it would be short.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I liked all that information about John. Putting on, if he was 90 when he wrote those, he must have been pretty young.
It was 90 years after the death
of Jesus, which means he must have been very young when he was with Christ. I was thinking and picturing him as a very, very young guy. Which probably explains all his affection with Jesus and Jesus with him being so young and so fiery. We may not all be that young, but we can be fiery for Christ and have that kind of affectionate relationship with him that John did. Let's go ahead and close in prayer before we come together to take down Christmas and prepare for the next chapter. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your anointing over today's blessed message, Lord God, and that we can just take these words and put them in our hearts, Lord God, and then you just continue to unfold them and reveal them to us, Lord God, through the week, and that we can have, Lord, that tender firsthand relationship with you, that tender affection with you, and at the same time, the hope of seeing you as you really are, in all your glory, when we're ready, Lord God, in the years to come. As the song said, what a day that'll be. What a day we have to look forward to. And in the days between now and then, Lord God, we ask your blessing over each and every one of those days on each and every one of us, and that you go before us, Lord God, and defend us from behind, clearing a path, making a way, keeping us safe under the shelter of your wings each and every day. Lord, we ask your blessing over this coming year, and let it be like none before, Lord God. We pray that you open new opportunities, that you open new avenues of anointing, Lord God, into our church, into our lives, into our ministries, into our relationships, into our families and homes. And we look forward to worshiping you as never before in this coming year of 2020. Let it be an anointed year of your Spirit all around us each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. Becky, sit down.